Welcome to Ink Drinkers,
a literary tea party podcast
where we discuss books
and drink tea. Marissa, I'm so happy to have you back.
I'm happy to be back too.
It's been
a couple weeks.
How's the little man?
He's great. He's very hungry. All the time, but he's really sweet and, like Jamie said, all boy. He just looks like such a little boy.
He really does. Like, you look at him and you're just like, well, that's a boy.
I know, it's weird.
It is so strange, but he's so cute.
Thank you.
And full disclosure, he is here with us in another room, so you may hear him crying in the background.
Yeah, sorry, apologies now.
Or as I've been told, he doesn't cry, he screams.
Yeah.
I have not experienced that yet, but
he's just so hungry.
He's just a cute little thing. I can't get over it. Wow. It's been a while since I've even seen you.
I know. It's been
Has happened in our lives since the last time we recorded? I had a week long that felt like a month long trip to Disney World. That was actually amazing.
I'm really glad it was amazing because that gives hope that maybe we could do this in a couple of years, because that was not real.
It was really, really wonderful and magical to be as cheesy as possible. But it was the ages,
you think.
They were at good ages. Mm-hmm. Margo, oh, there he is. I don't know if y'all can hear him. Margo, we did like the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique with her and she got dressed up like a princess. Cute. And I have this photo of like her dressed up as Cinderella with Cinderella inside Cinderella's castle, and it is just the sweetest thing ever.
So at three, is she gonna remember that?
I have no idea. Probably not.
I don't remember when you, with the general ages, when you like start really remembering.
I don't think that she'll remember it, but
she'll have the pictures.
She'll have the pictures, and Foster, I'm sure.
It'll be one of those things where she thinks that she remembers it because of how many times it's talked about.
Yes, because we will be talking about that endlessly because it was just, I mean, it just, like, it warmed my heart so much.
No.
It was so wonderful. So, yeah, it was actually a really great trip. There was, on our last day, it was like everybody was so exhausted and my mom was like, I'm going to take Margo and go back to the hotel and we're going to nap. And, like, John had to go do conference stuff and Hillary and Foster wanted to go ride some rides. And we were literally a 10-minute walk from Epcot. So I was like, I'm just going to go walk around the countries. Because when you're walking through Epcot, like, you just are walking around the perimeter of the countries, but you rarely actually go into them unless you're, like, eating somewhere. So I was like, I want to just actually go walk through every single country.
And
it was just so lovely.
Like, you did that by yourself?
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
It was really awesome. I loved it. I was just looking at all the merchandise and all the different foods.
But did they do Epcot, the kids?
Mm-hmm.
They enjoyed it?
Oh,
there's
there's
enough for them to do that they enjoy it?
Well, there's a lot more rides there now.
Okay.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy is there. But yeah, they really enjoyed it. They liked going through the different countries. Like, we ate in Mexico, mm-hmm. and they were like, oh, look at these little guitars and these little, because it was themed like Coco, and they love Coco.
Okay, I got it, yeah.
Yeah, they're all, and then like Elsa and Anna are in Norway.
Okay.
So there's a lot for the kids to do.
Yeah, I haven't been to Disney World since I was in, I don't know, seventh grade or something like that. That was the only time I've been, and we were only there for a limited amount of time,
right.
And we didn't do Epcot. But as an adult, I would like to do. Like, I think Epcot would be my favorite.
Is that awesome. Sounds cool. As an adult, but then also they have really added a lot for kids to do. And just while we were there, it just felt like Disney, like, thinks of everything. Like, when you're checking into the hotel, there's a little area for the kids to sit and watch TV. And it, like, they just do a really good job of that. So
my only concern is, if we're going to go through all of that, is it better just, and I mean, I know you're about to do it, so you'll be able to tell me, but is it better just to, like, go to Europe?
No.
Because, I mean, the expense is going to be pretty much the same.
Yeah, that Disney trip was insanely expensive. And my mom kept joking that it was the same as our trip to Italy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at that point, right. Is it worth just taking them to Italy?
They're going to be
to Europe.
They're going
to
be two completely different experiences. So Disney is for the kids. Europe is for the adults.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm not saying...
Don't bring your kids to
Europe. Don't bring your kids to Europe because, we're doing it and right. We're going to make it work. And we're going to do gelato classes and pizza classes and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, if you take your kids Disney to Europe, you're going them. For you. And Disney right. is for the kids. Anyway, all enough right. travel talk. Although, I don't think I've told you yet, I also booked a trip to Iceland.
Ooh, I think you mentioned that you wanted to.
Yeah.
When is that?
September.
Okay, cool.
So, I'm pretty pumped about that.
And is that... Who are you going? Is that the one where you're going with the group?
Yeah, so it's through the All the Hacks podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm just so pumped.
How many people?
Like 16. So, I know. This year has been pretty.
So you don't have to plan anything?
No.
You just go and everything's planned for you.
I mean, I have to book my own airfare.
Right.
But everything else is just done for me. Now, if I want to do, like, there's a day, I think, where you can kind of go walk around on your own or you can do, like, a spa visit or whatever. So, yeah, I'd have to book that. But otherwise, yeah, I don't have to book hotels. I don't have to book excursions.
That's nice.
I know. I know. I'm so excited. So, anyway, I've talked a lot about travel. Sorry.
No, that's exciting.
I'm very excited.
We have nowhere to go. Nowhere, but on purpose.
You have a tiny little baby.
We're not going anywhere this year.
I did see people with tiny little babies at Disney World, and I was just like, why?
Like infant?
Yes. Like they had just come out of the womb.
I can't imagine.
I don't know why you would do that to yourself or to your little bitty baby.
No thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, do you want to talk about books?
Let's talk about books.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. You want me to go first?
Yeah, do it. I heard a little snippet of your audiobook, and so I kind of know what I'm getting myself into based on the fact that I heard the word, like, Goblin King or something, so...
No.
No, I didn't hear Goblin King.
If you did, it doesn't have anything to do with the book.
Okay.
I think that was just them chit-chatting.
I swear I heard Goblin.
No, you probably did, okay. But they were... It's not fantasy at all.
Okay, that's what I was expecting.
No, so this... I'll help you out. This is actually an author that we've done quite a few times. It's just the only thing I could get through. It is Vari McFarlane's 2023 book called Between Us.
Okay.
Have you read this?
No.
Okay. I will start it off saying this was not my favorite of her books.
Okay.
But never once did I think I'm not going to finish reading this by any means.
Right.
It's very well written, like all of her other books are. I just didn't love the plot as much as some of the other ones.
Sure.
So the main character is Rasheen, and we talked about this. She has one of those names where it's spelled differently than how you pronounce it. But
one of those very Welsh names.
Yes. But it's about a group of friends who, when they were 22, all met each other working in a bookshop.
Okay. I'm on board already.
Mm-hmm. And they've remained friends. It's 10 years later. And now two of them, Dev and Anita, are planning on getting married, and Dev plans this weekend away at this really fancy estate for them to all come together and like have like a weekend together.
Why does this sound very familiar?
I don't know. This is not the main part of the book.
Oh, okay.
So Dev and Anita are getting married. The other friends are Meredith, Gina, Matt, Joe, and Rasheen. So Joe and Rasheen have been in a 10-year relationship since they all met at the bookstore. He has recently hit it big in regard to he's a TV writer, television writer. He wrote like a detective type show, and it wasn't set to be anything spectacular, but it kind of got like a cult following. And so from there, he was given they basically were like write another show kind of thing and make this more provocative. And so he's like in this era where he's now having money come in, and she's like a secondary teacher, so she doesn't make a lot of money, and but she always kind of supported him when neither of them had money. And so he his new TV show, Hunter, is coming out, and it's supposed to be like super provocative, and she doesn't know what it's really about. And this is where things start
okay.
not going well.
Oh, no.
So they get to, oh, and then Matt. Yeah. So Gina and Meredith are Rasheen's best friends. Anita is really kind of like Dev's fiance. And I think they're friends, but not as close.
Okay.
Matt is this kind of, he's very nice. He's really good looking, but he's kind of like a guy that's, he never has serious relationships and he's always dating a different girl.
Perennial bachelor.
Yep. Gina has always had like a huge crush on him, but nothing ever happened, but it's like this unrequited love that she can just, he's never interested in her, but she's really pretty. And so anytime he's dating someone, you can, and she, they're around, she's like uncomfortable and a little rude to them. And it's really strange because he's just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I know she has a thing for me, but.
But I,
we've
I
never, have we never dated. We never dated and we never hooked up and I don't know what's going on. So they have like a bunch of weird, you know, their dynamics are a little, and they're all different in regard to their backgrounds and their successes as adults. So Dev is super wealthy. Joe is just becoming wealthy. He wants everyone to go to Lake Como for his wedding. And everyone's like, we don't have money to fly there. And he wants everyone to fly to Miami for a bachelor party. And they're just like, you need to come back down to earth. Like, we're, and then he wants to pay for everyone's flight because they can't afford it. And they're like uncomfortable. They're like, yeah. No, we're not doing that. Like, can't you just do something here? And so there's a lot going on. And it's kind of like a group of people who've kind of, they don't really fit anymore, but they're trying to keep this nostalgic relationship mm-hmm. of their 20s, like these friends in their 20s. And they kind of do, but things are starting to sever.
Yeah.
And yeah, the seam is starting to unravel.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at the estate at the beginning of the book. Matt has come in and there's some stuff that happens there with him and Gina and things kind of implode and he leaves. And they decide to watch the first episode of Hunter because it's coming out. And the lead character is a detective, like in the other book, but he's also a kind of like a sex addict.
Okay.
But he's very... loosely or not loosely based, we don't know yet, on Joe, her boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
Because he talks like Joe, he looks like Joe, and he happens to have like this really sweet, caring girlfriend who happens to be very similar to her. It's the same amount of friends in their friend group, and wow. Each character kind of seems similar to each of them. So he kind of formed this around their life, but the guy is a narcissist and a pathological liar, and he calls himself in the show a monogamous because the girlfriend doesn't know that he has sex with random people.
Oh my God.
And it's just random people that he randomly meets and he doesn't ever see them again. And so he's like, as long as you're the best liar in the room and nobody knows, then you're not really hurting anyone. She watches this. There are also some scenes in the first episode of the show that depict things that she's told him in confidence of her childhood.
Oh, my God.
And he didn't tell her.
What a jerk.
And so she's pissed by the end of this. She's just like, what the actual F, you know, and confronts him about it. He gaslights her and says, you know, I meant to tell you, but then I got wrapped up and I had to turn it in.
So it's all true.
Not all of it's true, but like some facts from her childhood that were traumatizing to her, he put in the book.
Right.
I mean, sorry.
In the
TV show. He put
in
the TV show and didn't tell her ahead of time. So she's watching it unfold on the screen. And it was, and you know, it's like, in his mind, he's like, well, I thought you were kind of laughing it off. And she was like, I told you that when we first met. And I told you in confidence. And I was saying it. I was laughing because I was uncomfortable and it was a trauma response. And I've told you, like, obviously don't tell anybody that. She never told any of the other friends those stories. So anyway, so he has to leave to go to LA to meet with these producers. And so at this point, she's pretty ticked with him.
I guess so.
And he's
How did he think this would go down, though? He's like writing, like, how does he think?
Yeah, I don't know. So she starts to really think about the first episode that she watched, and she feels like some of the stuff in the episode happened a couple years ago. And so she's thinking to herself, okay, did he actually sleep with someone? Like, because a lot of, so they were at this party at a pub. He leaves his scarf in the episode accidentally, but not accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
All the friends leave, and then he's like, oh, I left my scarf. I'm going to go back and get it. Y'all just go ahead. Sleeps with the waitress in the bathroom.
And that, like, the scarf thing really happened?
The scarf thing really happened. And then he got home and he showers. And she was like, he never showers before bed. And he showered. And the character in the book showered when he got home. And she's like, and he did that time. And I remembered it because he doesn't shower it at night before bed. And so anyway, so then she starts, like, losing it kind of in herself. And thinking, trying to think back on their 10-year relationship. Like, were there signs? Were some of the stuff happening in the show stuff that actually happened in real life?
10 years. Are they, they're not married at this point, or they
so
are?
So I was confused by this because they never talk about a wedding, but then, and then they talk about, I thought someone says, you're going to walk down the aisle. And then she was like, no, I'm not ready for that step. So I'm thinking they're not, but then they refer to her mom as his mother-in-law. So I'm super confused. Hmm. I don't think that they're married. I think they've just been together for so long that they talk in those terms.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure they're not married.
Okay.
They do own, like, a home together, or like a really nice condo now that he's
rich.
Yeah. She's starting to slowly think back on things, and she's starting to really freak herself out. Like, is he writing fact?
Yeah.
Like,
is all of this 100%?
Yeah. And so that's really kind of how, what we have to figure out. Like, is he actually lying, or is he really a stand-up guy?
So it's a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah. And there's some romance, like, it's categorized as a romance, but I would say it's less romance than her other books.
Yeah. I don't, so, you know, there's like a formula for romance.
There is a potential other romantic partner. Or okay. The main character.
Okay. But the romance formula is two people fall in love and they end up together. No matter what, in the end. Anyway, I will not say whether or not this is a romance because it seems like that's maybe part of the mystery.
But it was an interesting concept of, you know, this show that you're watching, and it's kind of, it's based on your life, and like they act like they don't think that it's based on your life. And then, I mean, like, what would you do in that situation? Because that would... I think I would have some red flags come up in my mind as well. If I'm watching this play out.
You mean like because like she thinks it's based on her life, but then she's being gaslighted to say that it's not. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's gonna mess you up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well,
and the friends are even like, yeah, and the girlfriend's kind of a dead ringer for you. And she's like, yeah. I'm aware.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I figured that out.
Oh, and he made some comment like, you have that one really hot friend that's off limits. And like, he, I guess, has made comments in the past that he thinks Gina's attractive and like she is pretty. And so she's like, what? And then the character that's the friend that's attractive resembles Gina. It's just super, yeah.
This whole thing is just making me uncomfortable. Were you like uncomfortable when you were reading it?
When... I wasn't uncomfortable because they don't delve too deep into it. But whenever they discussed the first scenes of the show, and then when he said the thing about the friend, I was like,
yeah,
kind of cringe.
So I'm listening to The Bee Sting right now by, I think, Paul Murray. And the first, it's like 25 hours long. And I'm like 10 hours into it. And the first, like, good bit of it is told from the point of view of these two, like, teenagers, I guess. Like, she's in high school and he is maybe not in high school yet, but maybe about to be. I'm not really sure. And they're both just so naive and keep doing really dumb stuff, and it's just making me really uncomfortable. And I'm like, I don't know if I can handle this.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've moved on to the mom's perspective, but that part is putting me to sleep, so I don't know. Like, I turn it on at night and then I'm asleep like 10 minutes later. Honestly, I mean,
that's nice.
I know, honestly.
Maybe it's doing what it needs to do.
I just need to listen to this book every night to fall asleep.
That's not good.
I hope, yes. Yeah, please don't tag Palmery or anyone in this. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said any of that. Anyway.
Wait.
We're not doing tea. I don't know why I picked this up.
Yeah. You have to tell me about your book.
I have to tell you about a whole book first. Sorry, I'm a little scatterbrained right now.
Okay. Sorry, and I think I just haven't talked to you in so long, so I talked a lot about my book and just, you know, wanted to chit-chat.
We just really missed each other. So my book is more like quiet and literary, and it's a little bit coming of age and a little bit family drama. So I have a feeling that whenever I explain this book to you, it's not going to sound super interesting, but it was really good. And okay. I liked it a lot. So I'll just start there. So it's called Mercury by Amy Jo Burns. She's written some other stuff. And I also read Shiner by her, which was like a similar vibe and a similar kind of coming of age type thing. But it was not for me. But this one I did really like.
That's good to know.
I don't know what made me pick it up after I didn't love Shiner. But I don't know. It is what it is. So we have the Joseph family. And this consists of the mom and the dad, whose names I obviously can't remember, and then three boys named Baylor, Waylon, and Shay. So they're Bay, Way, and Shay, which is super weird. But
and they call themselves Bay, like those are.
Yeah. I mean, no, they'll say like Baylor, but they'll also sometimes just say Bay.
Okay, I'm not into it.
Shut up.
I don't mind like the names when you said them, but then you're like, and then they go by Bay, Shay, and Way.
Never once was it mentioned, like, all three names together like
okay,
that.
Okay.
No.
It's like.
No, they go by Baylor, Waylon, and Shay occasionally.
Sure. That makes sense.
They'll say, hey, Way, instead of. Okay, stop making that face. Anyway.
Anyway.
Sorry. So we have the Joseph family, and then we have Marley West, who has just come to town. I should also mention their ages. That's probably pretty important. Baylor and Waylon are in high school. I think, yeah, they're both seniors. They're
Irish twins?
They're like a year apart.
Irish twins.
Well, I thought Irish twins was when it's within a year.
Oh, maybe so.
I don't know.
Maybe so.
But anyway, yeah, so they're maybe Irish twins, maybe about a year apart. I don't know.
Okay.
But they're very close in age. And then Shay is quite a bit younger. Like, okay. He's, like, maybe in middle school. He's pretty significantly younger. So Marley comes to town. She's also a senior in high school. She's been traveling around a good bit with her mom. At first, we don't really know why they travel around a lot. We do learn that later in the book. But her mom's a single mom, works all the time. So she's kind of a loner. And she ends up going to a baseball game where Baylor and Waylon are playing. And the first thing she sees is the two of them just getting into an all-out brawl in the outfield. And then after the game, Baylor kind of catches her eye. And he's like, hey, do you want to get in my car and I'll take you home? Whatever. She's like, yeah, sure. This is, by the way.
Bad move.
By the way, this is like in the. I think it takes place in the 90s.
Okay.
So it's a.
Get out of the car.
It's a. No, it's okay.
Okay. Okay.
It ends up being okay.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
The way you're presenting it, I'm like,
I don't mean to. No, there's nothing nefarious going on here.
Okay.
I just mean to say that the two of them kind of hit it off. Got immediately. It.
Okay. Good. Now I feel better.
Okay. I should also go back and let you know that the book starts out with Marley and her husband, Waylon, watching their son Theo play baseball.
Okay.
So that's how it starts out. And then we jump back in time to when Marley first gets to town.
I do like a good brother triangle.
Yeah.
It's always interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah. So she.
Oh, poor Baylor. All right.
I know. I did feel bad for Baylor the whole book.
He's the older brother?
He's the oldest brother.
Mm.
Yeah. So
I feel like usually they end up with the older brother over the younger brother.
True. But in this case,
all right,
it didn't happen.
All right.
So Baylor kind of thinks of Marley as the one who got away. Waylon thinks of Marley as the love of his life. And Shay kind of thinks of her as a mom. Their own mother ended up having some health issues. And so she wasn't super present. And she also has a deep, dark secret that Marley ends up finding out, like, slowly throughout the novel that none of the rest of the family knows.
She found out as an adult?
Or as she found out like as a like teenager.
Okay, so 20s. She knows and she never told them and married them. Married the boy.
It comes to light later, but yeah.
Okay.
Like everyone finds out eventually, but Marley finds out this secret before everyone else does. And anyway, so that was an interesting piece of the book. But yeah, so it's really just about the family. The Joseph brothers, along with their dad, have a roofing company. Like that's their thing. And it's just kind of known.
They work together as adults.
They work together. It's just kind of known that when they graduate high school, like they're joining their dad's roofing company. And that's what's going to happen. Marley kind of... It was kind of fun from this perspective because Marley ends up being this great little entrepreneur and she ends up like kind of becoming the secretary of the company and like taking the calls and setting up the appointments and like she goes out and finds work for them and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of cool to see it from that sort of feminist perspective of this young woman who's just like jumps in and just gets stuff done.
Right.
But of course, meanwhile, the guys are like, oh, yeah, you're just the secretary. You don't need a paycheck and all this kind of stuff. So that was frustrating, but also very believable.
Yep.
And I already mentioned that Marley has a child with Waylon. She ends up getting pregnant during high school. And so they're kind of forced into things very young. Okay. So there's just a lot going on. There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of things happening. Obviously, there's the rivalry between the two brothers. Shay is very young and has his own issues and his own story. And the father, meanwhile, is like, he's not a bad father, but like he has been handling the company money and not necessarily doing the best things with it. So the brothers have to deal with that and Marley has to deal with that. But yeah, it was really...
It sounds good.
It was a good read. Mm-hmm. It kept me interested even though it was like quiet and not super plot driven. It was enjoyable.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like something I'd want to read.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I was worried I wouldn't be able to say enough about it to like interest you.
I think, yeah. And again, I like that dynamic.
Yeah.
In a story.
Yeah. Like I love coming of age. I love family drama.
Exactly. Same.
And it's not quite the type of family drama novel that, you know, we typically read, but it's definitely a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay. Now can I talk about the tea?
Now you can talk about the tea.
Awesome. God, I don't know what I was thinking before. So I bought this in Blue Ridge, Georgia, where I literally did a day trip earlier this week with my parents. That was exhausting, but I got some tea out of it and I got to visit a bookstore. So
very cool.
I didn't complain.
Yep.
So this is from a place called Tupelo Tea and it's called Pecan Black Tea. It is Sri Lankan black tea with pecans, walnuts, and white chocolate pieces. It's as satisfying as pecan pie without all the calories. This is pecan pie in a cup. It's delicious. Do you think so?
It's quite delicious.
It's so
good. I don't
good.
Know that I think it's, pe-
it's pecan, not pecan pie
in a cup, but it's a really good dessert tea.
It is it so much of, better than I was. I was nervous
yeah, it's
because
good.
Pecan can have a weird flavor in drink form. Mm-hmm. I love pecans.
Me too.
But no, it is so good.
But it hits all of like what we like all the flavor it
does.
Profiles.
It does.
And it had actual white chocolate chips.
Yes.
In it.
That was so cool. And it is, yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It's really and it good. Pairs very nicely with the delicious chocolate chip pecan cookies that your mother so kindly made for us.
Yes. They're very good. Yeah, it was a great pairing.
Yes, unexpectedly. We didn't do that on purpose, of course. And I just think this is so sweet that your mom like pulled out her fine tea set and we're drinking out of these lovely little golden painted flowery cute little teacups.
They are cute. We will definitely, we'll have to post a picture.
Yeah, we will. I love that she did this for us. It's so sweet.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
If you knew how to listen to her podcast.
And thanks for keeping Finn while we recorded.
I know. He's been pretty quiet.
He has been for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go play with him.
Sounds good.
So cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the show notes for the full list of books we discussed today. You can find that in your podcast app or on our website, inkdrinkerspodcast.com.
And please support us by subscribing anywhere you listen to podcasts and leaving a review. You can find us on Instagram and on Twitter at inkdrinkerspod.
Cheers!